If you have any questions, Kush asked me some questions yesterday. She answered them also, so we're going to put her on. She said, what do I tell somebody if they say, I'd like to accept you as a guru? And I said, tell them they're crazy. No, I didn't say that. Did I? I didn't say, did I say that?
No.
Yeah. Sometimes I say that. You know, tell them to find a bona fide guru.
You say that you're not a typical Swami.
Yeah, I said, well, they have to that's particularly for me. So. So Kush answered that question. What did you say?
I said, can they hear me?
No, but I'll repeat it. I mean, they might be able to hear you, but I'll repeat it.
I said that they should listen more to your lectures and read your newsletters to get to know you.
Oh, yeah, that's a good. She said that they should, you know, listen to my lectures and read what I've written.
And they should also get to know your projects more.
Get to know me, get to know my projects. That's good, because you kind of want to be on the same wavelength as your guru. And I thought that was good advice. Of course, we also want everyone to listen to Prabhupada. And when you're a new devotee, that's recommended, that you get a deep understanding of Prabhupada, and you can see how your guru represents Prabhupada, or if that fits within your paradigm. I mean, obviously, all gurus in ISKCON represent Prabhupada. But anyway, I thought Kusha's advice was good. You have to. But then there's also, I mean, that's good advice. And then we've also explain how at some stage in your devotional service there will be other devotees that will inspire you, and you can take guidance from them. That's no problem. Okay, I'm no longer distracted. Sorry for that. Okay. What does the disciple have a right to expect from the Diksha Guru? What a great question. That's, you know, Savitri, that you could answer that question in general, but you could also, the Guru may specifically have an answer for that. But before we answer that question, I just thought, let's hear what else Kusha said. What else did you say?
She also said that she should think deeply about what guru-disciple relationship means to her.
So this answers this question. So she said she should think, or the devotee was asking, she should think deeply about what the guru-disciple relationship means to her, because, like Savitri, what a devotee may expect from their guru may not be what the guru expects from himself as a guru, and that may vary. Of course, you'll have, you know, obviously, there's general principles which our Shastra gives. The guru is one who sets an example of what he teaches and teaches what he teaches, obviously. He's realized what he teaches. And he, of course, teaches others the conclusion of the Shastra. So that's, I think, a generic expectation. You expect the guru to properly represent the Siddhanta, properly represent Prabhupada. And then it's going to, you know, the details may vary in terms of how much personal care and attention you'll get from a specific guru. Some will give personal attention and some won't. And some who give personal attention will deal with certain issues and some won't. They'll just say, go to someone else. And others will say, go to me. So this is a good question in the sense of, it's not wrong or improper, but actually beneficial to know what to expect from a particular guru before you ask for initiation, or even after you've asked, or, you know, because that could change also within the course of his life in terms of his, what he's working on and how much time he can give to his disciples. It could have deal with his health, the projects that he has at a particular time, or the number of disciples he has.
And offer some service and develop a shiksha relationship to see.
Oh yeah, since you said try to develop a relationship, try to shiksha relationship, try to do service, try to understand what his projects are, and if those are things that inspire you. Yeah, that's good. Of course, one may say, well, I'm inspired. How do you go? One may say, I'm inspired, so, and I don't necessarily have talents or whatever to work on his projects or whatever. So that's nice if you can help, and if you can't, that's also okay. Depends on, you know, it also depends on the disciple. And then, as you're asking, well, what should we expect of the guru? Then you may also want to know what the guru expects of you. Right? Because maybe you can't do that. Like when I was reluctant to take disciples, and I needed help in my service, then I had a lot of projects I was working on, and I think I only had like one person helping me. And I realized that the direction I was going, things were going to expand to a point where I wouldn't be able to take care of it. So at that point I thought, okay, that if I accept disciples, they'll be able to help me, it'll be good. And I was reluctant to accept before, for different reasons. So at that point, personally, when anyone asked me, I would say, well, I'm only accepting disciples who can help me, which, you know, you could say, well, that's not fair. You should just be open to accept anyone. Right? But then the guru, it may not be fair, but the guru will have to decide that. You know, some gurus may say, I don't accept disciples. And you could say, that's not fair. But that's, of course, for him to decide. So at that point, when anyone came to me, I'd say, well, I'm only accepting disciples who can help me. And if you don't have time or inclination, you know, some disciples, they don't, whatever the reason is, they're too busy or circumstantially they can't help. So some would say, occasionally, that they can't, or, you know, whatever, they don't have time, or, I don't know. So I would kind of say, well, maybe you should accept from somebody else, because I don't. It was kind of like I was in a position where I didn't want to accept the responsibility of putting out the time and energy to take care of someone, because I didn't have much time and energy unless I could get service. So that was a very personal decision. And, you know, someone could say that's not right, but I have godbrothers who have been guru for 20 years and have about 20 disciples. They just won't accept everybody unless person is on a certain standard, and that's their choice. And some will make you wait 7 years before they give you diksha, and you know, you can't argue with that. So what you expect from a guru will also depend on the individual guru. And then from my understanding, can create problems when the disciples' initial expectations are different from the guru's expectations of what he could give. So sometimes it's, or maybe always, it's good to be clear. Because one of my godbrothers told me that he ran into that problem later on. After he had initiated disciples, then he realized that many of them had expectations which were different than his of what he could do, what he could offer. And he was also a GBC, so he had extended responsibilities around the world, which would obviously sometimes limit his ability to give time, as much time to disciples as maybe they wanted. And then some gurus don't get involved in some of the personal affairs. Some, if you send an email,